Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
So to be honest with you, friends, 2025 was probably one of the worst years of my life. I had declared in the beginning of 2025 that it was actually going to be 2020 Thrive. Good pun, right? But it felt a little bit more like 2020 Survive. It felt to me like every single area of my life felt like I was pushing a giant boulder up a hill with regards to my health, with regards to my friendships, with regards to my work, with regards to our family life. It felt difficult that there was a breakthrough, that at sometimes this giant boulder that I was pushing up a hill was going to roll back and squish me. Obviously, it didn't. I'm here. But when I came into 2026 and I stood at the end of 2025, as the clock ticked over, I have never been so happy in my whole life. I waved goodbye to 2020 Survive, and I declared that this was going to be the best year of my life, because last year was literally the worst year. And I watched the clock tick over, and there was a sadness because of the grief of the year, but so much joy, which what you need to understand is completely counter to my nature. Usually, at the end of a year, I feel overwhelmed at the prospect of a new year. I'm like, I just did Christmas and I did it well. I just did a Christmas production and I did it well. I did a vision offering and I don't want to do it again. That's usually my stance at the end of a year. Not this year, I waved it goodbye. You know, like, cheers, 2025. I don't know how 2025 was for you, friends. Maybe it was the best year of your life, and you're praying for more of that in 2026. And I'm sure you already have a taste of what 2026 is going to be like. You know, we've had a couple of weeks to start to see, and perhaps your year's already started off badly. In our Thrive community, we have already had three funerals in the space of a few weeks. And so for some people, 2026 has started off incredibly difficult, in an incredibly difficult way, and they're already grieving. But one thing I know for sure, that each and every one of us, we are desiring that 2026 will be blessed. I don't know about you, but that's the deepest desire of my heart, that this will be a year of blessing. It's blessing means to receive good that goes beyond our own effort. Don't we want good beyond our own efforts? To be favored of God, to be under His grace and protection, to experience God's peace and provision. And so the title of my sermon today is Choose Blessing. How you and I, we together, have the ability to choose blessing for our lives. Now, there was a man in Scripture. We're going to learn about him. He understood the power of blessing. He did a few things wrong in his attempt to grab some blessing. He did a few things right in his attempt to be blessed. But today, we're going to unpack the biblical accounts of a man by the name of Jacob. You may have known about Jacob. We start to hear about him in about Genesis 25, and there's about 10 chapters on his life, and I'm not going to read it because it will then be 2020 Survive for you. But what I will do is paraphrase this for us as a community today. I'm going to paraphrase a bit of his story, and we're going to learn some lessons together. So what we know about Jacob is he is the grandson of Abraham. Now, we mostly all know Abraham. He is then the son of Isaac. And so the lineage goes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what Scripture talks about, that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And today we're speaking about Jacob. What we need to understand about Jacob is he was actually the youngest of a twin. And his twin brother's name was Esau. And it says of him that when he was born, he came out of the womb grasping the heel of Esau. And this is pretty much the story of Jacob's life, that he's grasping, that he's trying to attain, some sort of level of success over his brother, because in the lineage, it should actually have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau in scripture, because there was a firstborn lineage that the blessings, that the birthrights were passed from firstborn son to firstborn son to firstborn son. But Jacob was a clever young man. He understood the power of birthright. He understood that birthright was a lasting power, that it gave you long-term prosperity and influence. And so one day his brother Esau comes from the fields and he is famished. He's starving. Jacob was, making a wonderful stew. It must have smelled amazing. And he came in and he said, "Oh, what I would do for some of your stew." And Jacob, being cunning, Jacob being smart, says to him, "Hey, I'll give you some of my stew if you sell me your birthright." Now, guys, Esau was a dummy. I just need to say that. Wasn't the smartest tool in the batch, all right? And so he says to him, "Well, what good is my birthright if I'm going to die anyway? I'm starving. Yes, I'll sell you my birthright." And so the first thing he does is he dishes him up a bowl of stew and he sells his birthright right there. A couple of decades pass and Isaac's about to die. And now he wants to call his oldest son in. The oldest son is Esau, so that he can bless his oldest son, that he can pass the blessing on from generation to generation, because the blessing from generation ensured that there was success, that there was influence, that the legacy and the authority and the wealth would pass from generation to generation. And so he says to his oldest son, Esau, "Go to the field, go catch me some game, make me a stew, and I will want to bless you because I'm old, I'm going to die, and I want to pass on the blessing to you." And so Esau goes off. Jacob gets wind of the fact that this is going to happen, and him and his mother, shocking, decides to out-cunning his father, who's half deaf, half blind. He must have been really old, okay? And they trick the father into blessing the wrong son. And it's quite an elaborate story. And they put hair from the animal skins on his arm, so he's hairy. They make his clothes smell like his brother's clothes, so he smells like his brother. And he blesses the wrong son. He blesses Jacob instead of Esau. So I'm going to pause right here. We see that Jacob understood the power of blessing more than his brother Esau. The first way he tried to be blessed was to buy a blessing. The second way he tried to be blessed was to steal a blessing. I'm just going to stop right here. Thrive Community, the way not to be blessed. We are not to buy our blessings. We're not to steal our blessings. There is a third way to be blessed, which we're going to learn about together. But now he's stolen his brother's blessing. His brother Esau is furious. He wants to kill him. Who wouldn't? He literally stole his future. He stole his legacy. He stole all the wealth that was meant to come to him. And so now Jacob is on the run. Jacob has to leave the land of Canaan. He goes to the land of Haran, and there he stays for decades. He marries two wives, Rachel and Leah. He marries two servant wives, and he has 11 children by the time we meet him, 11 male sons. He has daughters as well. But by the time we meet him, and we pick up this scripture on how it is we should go about seeking to be blessed, he has 11 sons. And now he's on his way home to reconcile with his brother. Decades later, he is journeying back. And this is where we pick up the rest of the story. We're going to read Genesis together. Genesis 32, 22 to 31. And it says this: "During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons, and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone." Can you say alone? alone. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. And then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, and I love this, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with man and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. And Jacob named the place Peniel, which means the face of God. For he said, "I have seen the face of God face to face, yet my life has been spared." And the sun was rising, and Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Friends, it's such an incredible text, such an incredibly powerful example of how it is that we can pursue blessing. And I'm going to unpack it for us today. But I want to give us context first. The context is that Jacob is returning after decades to reconcile with his brother. And this is a moment of reckoning for him. It's a moment where he is acknowledging what he has done. "I have sinned against my brother, and now it's time for me to repent." And the lead up to this is that he sends his brother batches of gifts to try and win his approval, because he gets wind of the fact that Esau has 400 men coming to fight him, is what he thinks. That he's coming with 400 men, and he thinks he's going to die. Jacob is now leaving that land because his father-in-law is starting to treat him unwell, not in a great way, cruelly. He keeps decreasing his income, even though his family is increasing. And so he runs away from his father-in-law, now has to face his brother, and is overwhelmed by the magnitude of his sin. And so what he does to protect his wives is he sends them away into two different camps. He sends them away because he thinks to himself, "Well, if my brother kills my one family, my one wife and servant wife and children, I'll still have another wife and children." And so he sends them away, and he is alone at night. Friends, one thing I want to tell us today is amazing things happen when we spend time alone with God. Theologians believe that this is a theophany. A theophany is the man that came was actually God. It was God that came down in the form of man and wrestled with Jacob. And what is incredible, friends, and what I want to encourage us, and what I see from this text, is that Jacob persevered in order to be blessed by God. He persevered. He said, "I will not let you go. I will not." Right throughout the night, he wrestled. I think he wrestled with his past. He wrestled with his sin. He wrestled with his character. He wrestled with his limitations. And he wrestled with what his destiny would be. But he said, "I will not let you go." So much so that the man of God, who they believe was God, decided, "I have to do something so he will let me go." And so he touched his hip and gave him a limp. Friends, the one thing I see from this scripture is that a limp with God is better than no limp without God. And so, friends, I'm here today to say, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you believe. I don't know what struggle you need to persevere through, but it is worth persevering. It is worth wrestling God to the ground. Perhaps you need to wrestle with why bad things have happened to you and your family. Listen, I had to wrestle about 2025 because I honestly believed it was going to be 2020 thrive, but it was 2020 survive. And so I had to wrestle with God. God, I don't want another year like that. God, what could I do differently? What is it that it was within me that needs to change? And I had to wrestle with God about that. Perhaps you need to wrestle with God with understanding what the purpose for your life is. Perhaps you need to wrestle with God on your fears, on your doubts, on your unbelief, on that unforgiveness in your life. And you need to wrestle. And God, I can't forgive this person, but I need to forgive this person. It's okay to wrestle with God, friends. All I want to say is don't let go. Too many years, I have seen people have doubts and disbeliefs and feel like God has not treated them fairly. And they've let God go. Before they've seen the end of the story. They've only let go in the wrestle. And so I want to encourage us to wrestle with God. And you might say, well, how? Because God is not a theophany. He's not here in the room in front of me. Well, friends, you wrestle with God in honesty. You speak to him like the Psalms. I love David. David is like the chief wrestler. He's also the chief praiser. But he's the one who's like, God, I praise you. God, you've left me. You've abandoned me. He's like the most emotional human on earth, which is wonderful because I fit somewhere in the spectrum all the time, you know. And so the how we wrestle with God is we get to celebrate with God. We get to scream at God when we're angry. And some of you might think that's irreverent. God will not fall off of the throne because of our wrestling. We can be human. He has made us human. We can wrestle with him with our doubts. Why is this person still unwell? Why has this happened to us? We can wrestle. We can be honest. We can be vulnerable. Yes, there's a cost to wrestling. There might be a limp at the end of the wrestle, but I'd rather have a limp with God. Then no limp without God. But there is also a reward to the wrestle. One thing I saw from the scripture is that there was a transformation that took place. That Jacob actually chose transformation. You know, God asked him, what's your name? Friends, that is not for God's sake. I think God knew Jacob's name. Anyone else think God may have known Jacob's name? God knew Jacob's name. God was asking him, what's your name? Because Jacob's name means heel grabber, deceiver. And so then, straight after he acknowledges, hey, I'm this sinful person. I am the heel grabber. I am the one who keeps grasping for other people's blessings and other people's birthrights. Then he says, okay, now that you have acknowledged honestly who you are, you will have a new name. And your name will be Israel. And Israel means the one who wrestled with God and prevailed. Not just wrestled with God. He wrestled with God and prevailed. And so the second thing I see is that in order for us to get to a place of blessing, we need to choose perseverance. Choose transformation. Friends, there's so many of us, when we get close to God and he starts to change us, we're like, whoa, let go, run away. No, the way that you and I can be changed is when we hold as closely to God as possible and he starts to do a work in us. We don't have to change ourselves. That's the beautiful thing. He renames us. And so I don't know what transformation you need, but what I do need to tell you is that the living God wants to change us. He wants to change us into his likeness and into his glory. He wants to give us a new name. He wants to take us from deceivers and heel grabbers to Israel, the promised ones who get to wrestle with God and prevail. And so I don't know what name's over you. Perhaps it's unworthy. He wants to give you a new name, blessed. Beloved, perhaps there's brokenness over the name that you've adopted. He wants to give you a new name, healed. Healed, healed, healed. That's for someone here today. You're not broken, used, goods. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Someone said you're not enough. God says you're enough. Someone said you're rejected. God says you're chosen. Someone says you're guilty. God says you're forgiven. A new name, a name of forgiveness over your life. Someone said you're unloved. God says you are loved and cherished and chosen. Someone said you're weak. In His strength, you are strong. Someone said that you're lost. You are found, friends. Found in the presence of God. He's looking for you. His eyes are searching for those who are after Him. Someone said you're ordinary. Friends, there's no ordinary Christ followers. We're extraordinary. Someone said you're unseen. Our new name is known and loved by God. And so from Jacob, we learn to choose perseverance. We learn to choose transformation. And then finally, we get to accept the blessing. We become a new person because of the transformation. And then we get to accept the blessing. Once he repented and turned back to God, God could bless him. Once he sought his brother's forgiveness, God could bless him. Once Jacob's name was changed to Israel, he could be blessed. Once his identity changed, he could be blessed. And friends, what we see here, it is the pivotal point of this whole entire sermon. So if you never heard anything I said, just lock in now. Jacob calls the place the face of God, Peniel, in verse 30. This is profound. We have to stop here and take a moment. What he was saying is, I saw God. And as a result of seeing and pursuing God, I was blessed. He does not call the place hand of God, the provision of God. Because he understood that if he saw the face of God, which we'll talk about in a moment, represents the presence of God, the provision of God would follow. So the question I have for us, how do we as a community pursue the face of God? How do we go after the face of God? Well, the first thing I need to tell us is the face of God is not literal. We're not looking for a human face. We're looking for a figurative face, which means the presence of God, which gives us a couple of clues. How is it that you and I can pursue the presence of God? Because when we pursue the presence of God, the provision of God will follow. When we pursue the face of God, first, the hand of God follows. So we don't pursue the hand, we pursue the face. We pursue His presence. And so I've got a quick acronym for us as we get to the end of the sermon. And the acronym, I'm using the word bless, bless. And this is going to teach us, friends, how you and I together, how we can pursue the face of God. Well, the B stands for in this acronym, be still before God. Psalm 46:10 tells us that we are to be still and know that He is God. Friends, our life and our world is noisy. It's busy, it's chaotic, and it will require some intentionality on our part to switch the radio off, to turn the TV off, to stop the scrolling, and to listen for the still, small voice of God. Jacob experienced a theophany, a wrestle with God when he was alone. And my first invitation for us as a community is that we would be still in order for us to know that He is God. The L stands for listen for His voice. Friends, I don't know what your day looks like, but can I encourage you, wherever you are, listen for his voice. In your shower, listen for his voice. That's where I hear the voice of God the most clearly. I think it's because my phone is far away. It's not in the shower, right? Listen for his voice in the shower. Listen for his voice in the car. Listen, switch off the radio. Listen for the voice while your friend of God, while your friend is speaking, because he might be speaking through your friend. Listen for the voice of God in this church service. Even though I'm speaking, he's speaking louder. Listen for the voice of God. Friends, once we start to identify the voice of God, we hear it more frequently. And it does require practice. Just like hearing a loved one's voice, you start to recognize its tone. You start to recognize its frequency. You start to recognize the words and the character that someone would say, what they would say. And so let's listen for his voice and practice listening for the voice of God. E stands for examine our hearts. Friends, it was clear that Jacob, on his way back, when he was afraid of his brother, he was examining his heart and realizing that he had messed up. He'd sinned. And he was repentant for it. Psalm 139, 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me and know my anxious thoughts." And it goes on to say, "Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me to the everlasting life." Friends, you and I, when we go to bed, take 2 minutes. Search me, O God. I did that the other night and God said, "You shouldn't have said that thing." Not the search me part. Something I said about someone. And so I was quick to repent. But if I wasn't allowing him to search me, I wouldn't have been repentant. And so it's important. Invite him into your day. Review your day with him and let him point out things in you, and he will. The S stands for surrender our wills. Friends, I have realized over time that my will wants the exact opposite of God's will. And that's just our human nature. I want to hold tightly onto my money, right? Especially January the 25th. But God's invitation is to tithe, to live generously, to give. I want to be selfish with my time. I want to wake up whenever I want to wake up, pick whichever service I might want to come to, maybe if I'm not rubbing it out in my diary. God wants me to serve. God wants me to lay my life down for someone else, to live for something bigger than myself. I want to self-promote. Look at me. I'm amazing. Look at my Facebook. Look at my perfect family. Look at my perfect house, which, by the way, are not. I'm just telling you, honestly, we are not. We are human beings filled with sin, trying to be more like Jesus. But Christ's invitation to me is to be humble, to think of myself less, to think of others more. And so there's a constant surrendering of my will. Not my will, Jesus said. Even Jesus had a struggle. Not my will, but yours. And the final S is to seek his presence. Friends, it's not a once-off, "Oh, I sought the Lord once." It's an ongoing seeking of the Lord. Every single morning as we wake up, the first thing we should reach for, not our Facebook, not our Instagram, not our phones, but the presence of God, our Bibles. And then we get into the Word of God. Find some sort of reading plan. If you've never read the Bible, go and buy a Bible in our resource center. And I encourage you to start in Mark. It is action-packed, full of movement. It will capture your heart and start at reading Mark. One chapter a day, couple of verses a day. Get into the presence of God. And then weekly, be found in the presence of God. Not bi-weekly, not tri-weekly, not once a month, weekly, because it's in the presence of God that there is healing and joy and freedom and life and forgiveness and wholeness in the presence of God. And what we're doing each week is we're trying to foster an environment where the presence of God can move and breathe. And wouldn't you want to be in a place where the presence of God is moving? Our first encounter night's taking place in Edenvale next week. If you want to encounter the presence of God, 5:30 next week at our Edenvale campus, we would love for you to join us there. Our fasting has started today. That's another way that we as a community are seeking the presence of God. We are starving our flesh, literally, so that our ears will open and hear the presence of God, that we will sense Him and know Him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your hearts." It doesn't say you will seek me and maybe find me. You will seek me and find me. Friends, when we're looking for God, we will find Him. When we are intentional with God, we will find Him. And so today, my encouragement to us, in order for us to choose blessing, we need to choose the presence of God. And when we choose the presence of God, we will be blessed. And how we choose the presence of God is by being still, the B. Listening for His voice, examining our hearts, surrendering our wills, and seeking His presence. There was a man by the name of George Muller. He was a man of unwavering faith. He spent his life in the 19th century serving orphans. He owned an orphanage. But the one thing George Muller decided was that he would not ask one person for one thing for his orphanage to run. What he would do is every single day he would spend time in the presence of God, firstly seeking God's face and then asking for what he needed from God, the provision from God. He was an absolutely faithful man. Muller never knew where his next meal was coming from, where the next firewood was coming from, where the next bed was coming from. But what he did know was that he would seek the presence of God first and wait for the provision of God to follow. And it was said of this orphanage, I have to read this quote, that hunger and hardship did not define the orphanage, but God's presence and care did. As unexpected donation after unexpected donation came to the door of that place because all he did was seek the presence of God. And one donation after the next donation arrived, and they did not lack for anything. Friends, you and I, into the remainder of 2026. May we pursue the presence of God above everything else. The face of God before the hand of God. The presence of God before the provision of God. And when we get the order right, we will be blessed. And so we choose blessing by choosing the presence of God. Can I ask for every head to be bowed and eye closed as we take a moment to respond? Friends, the starting point of a living a blessed life is accepting Jesus as your friend and Lord. This is how best to seek the face of God. It starts by saying yes to Jesus. Yes to a lifelong friendship with Him. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you would like to make this decision, the best life-changing decision, I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand. And this is just so I can see you, I can acknowledge your hand, I can say, God bless you, and then I can pray for you in a corporate setting. I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to embarrass you in front of everyone. I just want to see your hand and pray with and for you as you respond today. And there's already hands coming up, being raised. this morning, if you want to respond, if you want to say yes to seeking the face of God, then on the count of three, I'd like you to pop up your hand. There's already so many hands coming up. 1, 2, 3. Hands up all across the auditorium. I'd love to include you in my prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over there, sir. God bless you at the back, sir. God bless you on the balcony. God bless you on the balcony. God bless you in the front row here. Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you at the back. Many at the back there on the left bank, there on the back. You want to seek the face of God? Today's the day, friends. Pop your hand up. I would love to include you. I see your hand at the back, ma'am. Love to include you in this prayer. The Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. I see your hands at the back. Gentlemen, you're welcome to take them down. See your hands there at the back. One last call. Don't miss the opportunity to say yes to seeking the presence of God. The Holy Spirit's prompting you in this place. I believe there's one more person today. You're feeling butterflies in your stomach. You want to respond. You're not sure. Yes, that's you. Pop up your hand. I'd love to include you in my prayer. Yes, on the balcony. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand there. I'm going to pray this prayer with and for those who've responded today. And if you would just pray this sincerely in your hearts. Lord Jesus, I am so thankful that you desire a friendship with me. I confess that I have sinned and gone my own way, and I turn from my sin and ask you to forgive me. Help me to seek your face, your presence, every day of my life. Would you come into my life and be my Savior and Lord and friend? In Jesus' name, and everybody together in this place said a resounding amen and amen. Come on, let's put our hands together.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.